Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello everyone, I'm Kat Farmer.
And I'm Marianne Jones, and this is Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast.
So this week, I've been there, done that, and I've been down the Thames. I've been a tourist, Maz, a tourist in my own town. Oh, that's like you as well. Sorry, that was really squeaky.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
All I've seen of this is you in like a red nana cagoule getting very wet.
Right. So when you get, basically, if I describe the Thames rocket, is it's a rocket that goes on the Thames. No, it's not. It's a rib. So it's like a speedboat.
Oh, a rib. Is that a technical term?
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's a speedboat that goes on the Thames. And it starts at Waterloo, and then you go all the way down to Canary Wharf, and then you come back. It's for 50 minutes, and it goes really, really, really fast. And actually, the day I went was a really nice... It wasn't particularly cold, and it was really dry. And you know, they
did not look it.
Right, they say, would you like to wear...
You didn't look like a Bond girl, Kat, is all I'm saying.
Do you know what? That's what I said. I said, there's absolutely nothing Bond... It's the most unglamorous thing you can possibly do. My recommendation would be, A, don't get a blow dry the day before.
Oh, no.
Error. B, tie your hair back within an inch of its life and tie it low, because they do give you and they do offer you these red coats, I'm going
to
say.
Do you know what? I somehow didn't think it was your own. I didn't like to say.
I don't own a cagoule. They do, it's a red, so anyway, they give you these red coats, and it was one of these ones, take it. And my friend I was with was like, are you going to wear that? And I was like, I looked around.
Were you the only one wearing it?
No. Everybody, well, actually only one, a couple of people didn't. And I was like, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely wearing this. Oh my God. You do get very, very splashed. Because they do, I'm going to say they do like donuts. They don't do a donut, but they do like a turn, a spin. It is brilliant. And not only is the ride brilliant, on the way back, he does a little bit of a, and this is all about London. And having lived in London, pretty much, well, I mean, obviously I had a little sojourn into the country, but you know, I'm from London, born in London, come back to London, live in London as an adult. I was like, oh, I know all this stuff. Oh my God, I found out things I didn't know. I'm not going to spoil it.
Well, I want to know now.
No, I'll tell you after. I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay.
I loved it.
So it sounds like the perfect Easter end of term thing to do with your kids.
Do you know what? I mean, do it with your kids, do it with your girlfriends. I mean, I wouldn't drink before you go on it. You're not allowed to be pregnant. Clearly not a problem. But he said, she very pointedly looked at, well, didn't look at me pointedly when he said, you know, is anybody pregnant? No. But I think do it with absolutely anybody. It is such fun. And there were people on there of all ages, and everybody absolutely loved it. And what's really funny is you do that and then you go on the London Eye, or you look at the London Eye, the queue for the London Eye. Oh my God, they must be queuing for like an hour yeah. and a half. And this straight on, all your tickets beforehand, straight on. I loved it.
How did you get to hear about it? Is it well known, this Thames rocket? Because I've never heard of it.
I don't think so, actually. I saw it on someone's Instagram and thought, ooh, and I'm always looking for things to do. You know, when you have people come to stay, and you know, especially if they know London, you think, what can I do that's a little bit different? So I thought, oh, I'll just give that a go. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's highly, highly, highly recommended.
Seasickness? No?
No.
River sickness?
No. And do you know what, actually? I have done a similar rib in Norway when I did the fjords. And I felt so sick on that. Not at all. Not at all. And I do get seasick. on things like that normally. And no, I didn't at all. I'd love that. It's right up my street, that is.
Right, so I've been there, done that, and I've gone back to my hometown, not on a Thames rocket. So I'm from a northwestern town near Liverpool called Prescott, which I've mentioned before, because I couldn't believe it. The psycho in Saltburn was from Prescott, obviously. But it's kind of landed on the map. So socioeconomically, it's a very deprived area in a borough of Knowsley. And that's where I grew up. Go back now, they've invested like multi-million pounds in building this new Shakespeare North Playhouse.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, of all the places to put a Shakespeare, well, I mean, it looks a little bit like the Globe inside, but it's got a roof. And there are links, apparently, from the Elizabethan era in Prescott, because Prescott's older than Liverpool. They've apparently uncovered some kind of link between Shakespeare, the theatre, and the kind of landed gentry of Prescott, as was then, and have built this. They built it during lockdown. Enormous. I just couldn't believe it. It's like there's a pub there called the Dean's House. I'm like, oh my God, it's opposite the Dean's House. This just phenomenal, huge theatre.
What was it beforehand? What?
Do you know what? It just kind of, I'm not sure what they knocked down there to build it, but it was just kind of a bit of nothing. I mean, Prescott is really, I mean, if I'm being really honest, Kat, if you walk down into the centre, we were there on sort of Saturday afternoon. It's dead as a doenail still.
Really?
And a doenail.
I was about to say, what was that?
A dodo and a doornail.
A dodo, a doornail. Yeah.
A doenail. But they have got kind of more restaurants. You can see that money is starting to come in because they've got, don't know if you've heard of this restaurant called Pinion. There was a Channel 4 doco on them setting it up. It's, I'm not very good on chefs, but the chef is called Gary Usher. Gary Usher, the chef, invested in it. Used to be a Betfred. Before that, it was an old furniture shop when I lived there. And now it's this very, very upmarket kind of bistro.
Ooh.
It's really good. And me and my mates, Tracy and Ollie, we went there. And I was like, I'm not sure I'm prepared for what Prescott's going to be like now. So I've not been for years because, you know, my mum moved out and all of that. Still, Dawn Next Door is still there. My kind of oldest friend who I call Dawn Next Door. And she's still next door to the house that I grew up in. And I got there and it was very strange. Very strange experience. We ate at Pinion. Really gorgeous gourmet meal. And you could tell all these outsiders are going for the theatre menu because they're quite well-spoken. And then we went to the theatre, of which I will tell you a little more about later because it's in my Meeson threesome.
Ooh.
But I also went to look at the place where I was born, like my first home. I mean, I was born in Wiston Hospital, but, my first home.
Thanks for that, Maz.
And we, just in case, FYI, we had, our first home was a tiny flat above a butcher's shop. Absolutely hideous, apparently. Of course, I don't remember. And it stank. And we had to move out. And I went there. I was like, oh, my God, it's like this very she kind of woo-woo spiritual trinket shop now. Oh. It's not Showerin's, the butcher's.
Oh.
And it's just so weird to go back to where you were born and just see the change and the investment, which is a really good thing. So I had a really great weekend with my mates, caught up with everyone from school, and had a thoroughly, thoroughly nice time. That's me done.
Good.
I know.
Didn't we have lovely weekends?
We had really nice weekends.
What was the weather like?
Oh my God, Kat. I've still not stopped moaning. My mate Tracy, I was staying with my mate Tracy in her new house in Mossley Hill. And I said to her, Tracy, have you got the heating up?
Cold.
I'm not used to it up north. I'm not used to it. I'm Nesh, as they'd say.
You're so Nesh.
I'm so Nesh. I was freezing cold.
Yeah. It was weird here. It was beautiful on my 10th rocket. It was lovely and sunny. And then went for lunch, which I'll tell you about in a bit.
Yeah.
And then came back and I was like, what's that noise? What is that noise? Hail.
I know, hail. It's mad. It's absolutely mad.
Please let it be nice this weekend. Actually, when's this going out? Thursday. So it is this weekend.
So this is coming out. So when you are listening to this, it's coming into Easter weekend.
Oh, yes. You are getting ready. Oh, look at that.
Oh.
Segue.
What I wanted to bring up is, and I don't know if any of you out there has noticed, but which magazine came up with this big report recently? And it's basically the price of eggs, i.e. the price of Easter eggs. The shrinkflation this year has gone bananas, and it's particularly hit Easter eggs hard. So brands including Cadbury, Galaxy, your Mars, your Twix, your Kit Kat, your Smarties, all of that, they've made their eggs smaller, Kat, but they've kept the prices the same, with some even going up. So for example, I'm going to give you an example. Kit Kat Chunky Milk Chocolate Large Easter Egg used to weigh 230 grams, and it included, you got two chunky Kit Kat bars in with
Kit
that.
Kit Kat bars?
Kit Kat bars.
Okay, Kit Kat bars.
Speak today.
Kit Kat bars.
Kit Kat. Kit Kat chunky
you
bars.
You should have had a coffee, not a cup of tea.
I know.
Yeah, you see, I'm
I need a rocket up me. That didn't come out right.
Oh, God. I don't know where I'm going with this.
You know what? I've got this bloody, has anyone else got this? Someone said to me, you've got the 100-day cough. It won't go.
I'm saying nothing.
No one's talking to me. I'm getting on everyone's nerves I'm so badly.
Nothing.
It won't go.
I'm not going to lie. I don't care as long as I don't catch it.
I don't think there's anything there to catch.
Well, there isn't, because I've seen you for 3 weeks now and you've had it every week.
I know, and no one at home's caught it. I'm just annoying the hell out of everyone.
Do you have it
on me? Yeah, that's worse. You know, when you lie down.
Do you know what my mum said? Oh, I'm right. Two things you're supposed to do. One, my mum said to me, whenever you want to cough, swallow. Sorry, that sounds terrible.
Okay, you sure she wasn't talking about something else?
Shall I tell
Good
Mick?
Good advice, though.
Shall I tell Mick?
Okay.
Okay.
How about neither?
So, yeah, or you rub Vicks.
Oh.
Vapor, right?
Are we on the same?
No, we're okay. So not. You can try, but I don't think you'll be best pleased.
No.
Onto the base of your feet, and it stops you coughing.
No way.
Try it. Now you're saying this, that might have been a dream. You know I do this a lot.
You're just doing it to wind me
No,
up.
I'm not. I swear to God. Vicks Vapor Rub, on the soles of your feet, put socks on, and you'll stop coughing. Well, you stop doing something. It might not be coughing, but it's good for something.
Right, I'm going to do that tonight and let you know in the morning.
I'm so excited by this.
Thanks for that. So getting back to the Kit Kat Chunky Milk Chocolate Large Easter Egg that used to weigh 230 grams.
Oh, my God, what have you included, smoked? Jesus, that was out.
I've brought my mixer and included two Kit Kat Chunky Bars. Well, it's gone down to 190 grams with just one bar. And Cadbury's, as I say, they're all the same. So some eggs are over 50% dearer than last year.
Taking into account the price inflation and the diminished size of them.
Yeah, so it's a double whammy, isn't it?
Do you know what?
I used to think wagon wheels shrunk, but then I realised they've just grown up.
No, I think they have actually shrunk.
Have they?
Yeah.
Everything's shrinking, isn't it?
I have to say, I don't care.
You don't care because you're not bothered about chocolate.
And if someone gets an egg and it's smaller, I'm like, I don't care.
Manufacturers are blaming the increases in the global price of cocoa and increases like energy, packaging. But honestly, shrinkflation has become such a thing that even Joe Biden called it out in his State of the Union address this year. So I want to know, listeners, what have you noticed has shrunkflated in your life?
Because I'm more interested in talking about Joe Biden running again for office at 84. That to me is
But look at the alternative.
Oh, excuse me.
Would you not
in a country of
would you not
that
think
many,
they'd yes. be able to find two people
who are a walking
not
corpse.
Off dead or ridiculous.
Well, I cannot fathom how in a country of that many people, those two are the only offering.
I can't believe it.
Speak though, to be fair.
Well, our recent history.
But at least, exactly. So, you know what? I mean,
glass houses and throwing stones.
Totally.
But it is absolutely. I've said that. I'm like,
is he going to be 84? Which is, do you know what? Nothing wrong with being 84. But I'm not. Is it true that I don't know?
But anyway.
Anyway, let's
digress. Shrinkflation.
Yeah.
So yeah, what have you noticed that has shrunk? Now Easter eggs. I've only seen one that you've got in your cupboard and have eaten some of.
Yeah. I've
not bought one yet.
Well, neither have I. I need to buy. Do you know I haven't bought them yet? Because last time I bought Easter eggs in advance. Normally I'm very much a last minute. Actually, you know what I did last year? I got them delivered.
Well, I'm waiting for my Ocado and I've just got a load of them. Well, Joe and Dan. Cream egg.
How did you get them? I get them one each.
Well, I've had very specific. Danny wants Maltesers, a Malteser Easter egg. Joe wants cream egg. So I've got them both one each, but they're not very expensive, which I'm very happy about. So I've got them like a few little bits and bobs as well. Including mini eggs, because mini eggs are my favourite. If you give me a bag of mini eggs, they won't be there in 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, you must be in a different tax bracket for me, because mini eggs are, oh my God, so expensive.
They are.
So expensive.
And I eat them in 2 minutes.
Do you know what? I don't like chocolate. So it's really hard for me to get excited. And what the problem is, though, I then don't get excited about. I'm like, you've only got me one egg, Mum. I'm like, yeah, because
I don't like it.
Well, no, because I don't. Yeah, I'd rather have.
Do all your kids like chocolate?
Well, the kids, of course they do, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't.
But I used to when I was young.
Oh, what happened?
I don't, because I always sound like an absolute arsehole when I say this.
Go on.
Oh, I gave up, I stopped eating sugar.
Do you not eat any sugar now?
Wine.
Sugar, to be fair.
Yeah. And that bonatoni I ate, but that was, it's quite savoury.
It's got some sugar. Well, I mean, you threw most of the sugar on the top, didn't you?
Well, then I threw it away. I wiped it all off.
In a not very good shape.
Okay, yeah, fine. Fair enough. No, I'd much rather have a savoury hot cross bun.
Oh, well, fair enough. You're not denying yourself. So what? Someone were to buy you an Easter present, would you have, like, booze and some flowers?
Yeah, or buy me nuts. Buy me cheese balls. They should do... Oh, my God.
Easter cheese ball?
Oh, my God, they could do Easter cheese eggs.
Get on it.
Oh, Jacobs. Hello, Jacobs.
A cheesy egg.
Oh, in a little egg shape. Oh, do you know what? I'm not that bothered. I'll pretend it's an egg and make it round.
Yeah.
Cheese balls, I could eat until the cows came
in. Easter cheese ball.
Nuts. You can literally buy me something made of nuts, something made of crisps, something made of chorizo. Yeah, I don't like chocolate. I know I'm weird. I'm really, really weird. I don't like sweet things.
All right. Well, this isn't going to affect Kat, but I'm going to ask our listeners, will shrinkflation or has shrinkflation stopped you buying Easter eggs? But I also want to ask you, what's your favourite Easter treat? So obviously for you, Kat, it's going to be a cheesy, big cheesy Easter egg ball.
Do you know what I really look forward to, actually? I look forward to roast lamb.
Oh, do you?
Oh, my God.
Do you make your own? Or do you get it kind of pre-prepared and put it in the oven? Like, do you buy a leg of lamb and do all the bits and bobs to put the rosemary on and rub the oil and put it in the oven? Or do you kind of just get one already in a bit of tin foil? I feel like I'm bonkers.
Well, I don't... No, I can't remember the last time. No.
What do you do with it?
Somebody else cooks it.
Oh, do you know what? At first I thought you were going to look at me and I thought I've ceased to know you.
I thought
you were going to say, rub it down with a bit of salt and rosemary and oil. Don't we all?
No.
But we can continue to be friends.
We can continue. Totally. Oh, would I? I mean, I used to. I mean, I can't
handle meat.
What?
I can't handle. I'm not very good at handling meat.
Really?
With my hands.
Okay.
It's not my favourite.
Poor Nick.
Again, I refer you back. Gosh. It's not my favourite. So I wouldn't like to be rubbing things down.
I actually walk past. This is, all right, so people, I did this the other week actually with somebody who loves chocolate, walking by, and it was a chocolatier. Do you call that?
Chocolatier?
A chocolate shop.
Yeah.
And it was all the chocolate in the chocolate shop.
What, Hotel Chocolat type?
No, it wasn't Hotel Chocolat. It was even more shishy than that. I don't know. It was a local place that just, you know, that has like all the lovely chocolates in. And of course, they're Easter, you know, it's obviously like, you know, it's like Christmas on crack, isn't it? Easter and chocolate. And I was like, yeah, fine. And then walked past a really sheeshy butcher's. There is such
What's a sheeshy butcher? What do they have in the posh butcher?
Well, they have like a massive fridge full, your face, you're not going to like this, full of ribs of beef, like rib, like literally
Back to my childhood and showering as butchers.
You see, I...
But the old-fashioned butchers, that's what butchers were.
Exactly.
You stuff hanging yes. in the window that used to make me go...
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I was veggie for 25 years, Kat. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm still not really great with meat. I mean, I don't mind a bit of chicken and a bit of beef, but yeah.
Oh, no.
No, not great.
I honestly stood and looked...
You drooling in front of like yes. the legs raw. And bits of...
It was ribs of beef. It was just a whole fridge, and that's their speciality. This butcher's is ribs of beef. Speciality is ribs of beef. Honestly, that is my idea of heaven. Me.
Well, you can, with that, you can just whack it in the oven, can't you?
Well, I'd wreck it. I mean, it's got to be really... Also, I also I do... Oh my God, I'm not selling myself well here. I wouldn't know what to do. So expensive. I thought of ruining that would be, oh my God, no.
Mind you, fish is so much more expensive than meat now. You can have a steak cheaper than you can have flipping cod and chips.
Oh, I'd leave fish. I don't mind fish, but no.
Will you have lamb on Easter Day then?
I don't know. Going out for lunch on Easter Sunday. So I don't know. I'll have whatever I'm given.
I know what I forgot to ask. I wanted to ask, cheap chocolate or expensive chocolate? Because I'm Cadbury's every time. Cheap day, I am.
I was too. The one thing I did used to love about an Easter egg when I was little, and actually I would do, the great thing about an Easter egg, why doesn't Easter egg, a Cadbury's Easter egg, taste better than a bar of chocolate? It tastes different.
No, you are right. And the other thing we discussed briefly before this is why do Easter eggs now, half of the thrill of getting like a Smarties Easter egg, for example, was you try and carefully... crack open either side, so you know you'd still have two full slabs of chocolate unbroken,
yeah,
and in the middle you'd have your packet of Smarties.
It's like a massive Kinder egg.
They don't do that now. They put them separately. Why?
I think, I don't know, but I would say it's probably cost.
What do you think?
Would you think?
I don't know.
Well, it's going to be cheaper.
I'd love to know.
I think it would. Let's ask. I bet someone will know. And also, the other thing I used to love about an Easter egg is, you know, at the top of the bottom, you get that like extra thick bit.
Oh, the thick bit. And you like break a tooth on it and you're like, I've got the thick bit.
But it's like, I always used to love, and Terry's chocolate orange.
Chocolate orange.
God, no. I'd leave the segment bit. The wedge in the core.
The middle, like the core of you'd be like, no one is eating that.
It tastes different.
I know. I so agree.
It does, doesn't it?
The bit in the middle, the spindly bit.
Yes. But it's almost like a flake, wasn't it? A bit.
Like an orange flake.
Yeah. Oh. No, I did use to love that bit. The things I cannot bear are a lint ball.
No, I will not thank you for lint.
Galaxy?
I do like Galaxy, but I'm kind of a Cadbury's girl.
Yeah.
Any American chocolate? No. Apologies to American listeners, but it's like vomit.
Oh, God, it's disgusting. I think we've done this before. I'm sure we've done this before. Hershey's actually smells sick.
No, it does.
It smells sick.
It smells of sweet vomit.
But I do know that there are different... So Cadbury's that you buy here will be different from Cadbury's you buy elsewhere, because I think in warmer climates, they add something else to it to stop it melting or something. That's what I was told anyway.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't thank you for that. I had something else exciting to say on that. I can't remember. It clearly was not that exciting. Oh, no, I do. Speaking of melting, oh my God, this is where I went wrong. So the reason I haven't bought any eggs was not last year, not the year before, maybe the year before that even, when it was it maybe it was? No, it can't have been good old, what's that bloody thing we had?
COVID. A pandemic.
Yeah, that thing. I have been really organised, and do you know what? I mean, my life with kids was basically an episode of Motherland. I was the last person to do bloody everything, you know. Oh, God. And so when it came to either the bloody, what are those things called? Advent calendars.
Easter bonnets.
No, but you had to buy it.
Oh, you had to buy it.
I'd either buy them, put them somewhere really safe, no idea, and they turn up in March.
You never did a hunt for the Easter egg in the garden then?
My sister-in-law used to do it. No, I didn't do it. Ridiculous. No. I think one year, oh my God, actually, it's coming back to me. One year I did. It was one of those. And I just, I mean, you know where I used to live. It's it's quiet. You were able to stand on the edge of the patio and it's quite, it's a big lawn. And,
yeah, big garden.
Yeah. And I hadn't done it and I was supposed to. My sister-in-law hadn't come round. And so I just literally stood and just threw. Just literally like lobbed about 30 of those little tiny
like
eggs.
Bird seed.
Yeah, basically, yes. And just lobbed them into the,
and let
into
them go
the garden.
Feral.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They probably
yeah.
didn't care.
Yeah, thank God we then got a dog. And I was like, oh, we can't do it. It's got a
oh,
dog.
Oh, no. You
such
can't
a
have
shame.
Chocolate.
No.
It's the end. It's
such
the end.
A shame. Anyway, so what I did do this year, though, I was organised. I was so proud of myself. I was so smart. The first time in literally probably 15 years I was ever organised. And I had the eggs and I thought, I can't put them in the house because the kids will find them. What I'll do is I'll put them in the car. Went out to find them. An absolute melted mess.
A puddle.
Yeah. And what happens is that, you know, I do remember Mike saying, it's fine, let's delete them. The foil is hermetically sealed to the chocolate and they go that white sort of, you know, like old dog poo colour.
Yeah.
They're like that.
You could have made it part of the challenge and said, this year.
Yeah, I could have looked even more shit as a mother. Great. Amazing. Yes. Wow.
The first one to get the chocolate off the foil wins.
Yeah. Do you know what? A friend of mine.
Oh, and if it touches your fillings. Oh, have you ever had foil touch your fillings? But you haven't got a filling, have you?
I haven't got any fillings. I've never had a filling. Sorry. Something to what? Do you have healthy tea?
Try being brought up in Prescott. I mean, by the time you were eight, you were having your first filling.
No,
I'm telling you.
But it's also more difficult because obviously one of mine is a celiac. And so there are only certain eggs you can have.
Oh, crap ones.
I know. No, there are some quite good ones. But then, of course, anyway, so a lovely friend came to the rescue. And I remember we were in Suffolk, actually, which the selection of eggs isn't there aren't very, there's no big supermarkets. So they basically, somebody arrived with eggs.
Some bespoke posh eggs.
No! No. They were just normal ones. They managed to get from, you know, like big Tesco's.
Okay. The day was saved.
The day was saved. So top tip, even though it doesn't look like it's going to be remotely warm, do not put your eggs in the boot of the car.
It'd be like putting it in the deep freeze at the minute. But anyway,
yeah.
Good tip.
Anyway. Do you know the thing that amazes me though? Speaking about shrinkflation. Right, because I do eat crisps. I love crisps. It's why? Get a big bag of crisps, a little bag of crisps. You open them, six crisps in the bottom.
Have you seen McCoy's now? You open them. Honestly, you could put them on the palm of one hand.
It's like that, all crisps.
I mean, part of me thinks, well, I shouldn't really have had that bag of crisps anyway.
Do you
I'm not eating that much.
See, I don't know what you're talking about. You buy a small bag of crisps.
No, I'll buy a six pack for like when the kids are there. Nick likes crisps in the afternoon sometimes. So I'll buy them, just keep them in the store cupboard.
It's good portion control, of which I do not have any.
Well, I don't normally eat like a lot of savouries, crisps or anything, but sometimes if I'm really hungry and I'm whizzing out someone, I've not got had time for my tea, I'll have a bag. And honest to God, there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there anymore.
Why is there so... Do you know what there is in there?
Air.
Why?
Yeah.
Why do they just not
expensive
make...
Expensive air.
Why is it just not make the packet smaller?
Because you wouldn't buy them, would you?
I want to know this. I think that's ridiculous.
I know. Well, we all want to know.
Also, they're just potato. Mind you, potato's expensive now. Oh,
yeah.
God.
The price of potatoes these days. The price of everything. So we're going through a terrible time. Anyway, so... Let's move on to something a little bit lighter, looking forward to occasions. Our fashion whinge or winner this week, occasion dressing, because after Easter, it's all cracking off, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, different people do different things, don't they? What have you got coming up that's occasion-wise?
I haven't really got anything because, unlike you, I don't do the kind of... I know you like the sort of events like races and all that. I've never been to a horse race. I've never been to one.
Have you not?
No. I've been invited.
Yeah.
I've either never had the time or I've never had the inclination because I'm nervous about what to wear.
Yeah.
Hence our hat chat.
Yes.
Or things like Chelsea Flower Show, which I love. That's my favourite thing of
the year. We're going!
I can't wait.
I know. I
can't
love.
Wait. I love that. I love it. Because I just love it.
Do you know what? Someone messaged me a couple of years ago. And I said, I can't believe you've gone to Chelsea Flower Show. You don't like gardening.
You might like flowers, though.
Thank you.
You like looking at them.
I like flowers. I like looking at gardens.
Well, you're not allowed.
Apparently not. Uh-huh. Apparently not.
Know your place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, no, I love looking at all the gardens. I just love the whole occasion, and we're going together this year. So watch this space.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But because of all of this, and I think there's something else that we both might be going to soon, I'm very nervous because one of the occasions, not Chelsea Flower Show, I've been there before and I've not had a hat. One of the occasions does demand a hat. Chelsea Flower Show, I always think, well, you should go in something bright and florally. But not necessarily. But, you know, that it does look pretty, doesn't it?
Well, I think it depends on the weather as well. But, yeah, I mean, normally, I've been to Chelsea a lot, and I do always wear something floral.
But what are we thinking about occasion dressing this year? Because there's so much in. So there's, I mean, there's things like relaxed suiting at the minute.
Lovely.
That's big.
That's brilliant.
You know, can you wear that? Or should you always stick to a floral dress? What are the rules, Kat?
Well, there aren't really any rules. I would say that I think formal occasion dressing has become a little bit like everything, more relaxed. And I think part of that is because... I don't know whether it is this or whether people have just got a bit more savvy about it. But the thought of wearing a really formal, I don't want to say corporate looking, but a really smart, for a, you know, all-encompassing term, dress. When are you going to wear it again?
So smart corporate look, you mean?
So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I suppose you wear it to the next thing, don't you?
Well, something that's super dressy that you think, I can't dress this down
people
with trainers.
People don't tend to super dress anymore.
And do you know what I did see, really weirdly, today? I think it was in the Telegraph, actually. That's, you know, I said earlier, I saw something about fashion. I forgot what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I've just remembered.
Go on.
The return of the two-piece.
The two-piece.
And that's what we could have spoken about, but we've now gone down a different alley. But I'm going to bring it back.
Well, when you say the return of the two-piece, is it like the co-ord?
As opposed to a dress, yes.
Well, funny you should say that, because I have got a two-piece, a new two-piece, from a company called Pink City Prints.
Oh, yes!
And it's a skirt. It's black, but with kind of embellished stuff on, like embroidered stuff. And it came with like a little top. And I thought, well, that's versatile.
Yes.
Because I can just wear it as the skirt, or I can wear the top with jeans. And you recently went to, our mutual favourite store, Hayley Menzies. And you had some corking little two-pieces.
Oh, my God.
Co-ords.
Hayley, I've known Hayley for absolutely years, when she very, very, very first started out. And she's just gone stratospheric. She's amazing. She sells globally now. But she is the most, she's a real boho hippie queen, but manages to make, it's not for everybody, and wouldn't it be a boring world if you all like the same thing? So they are very, very laid back and very sort of relaxed, and very, as you said, Stevie Nicks, but they are easy to dress up as well. And I think that's a thing. For a wedding, you needn't look as if it's for weddings and a funeral. It needn't look as if it's, do you know what I mean about that wedding out there where everybody looks all a little bit trussed up?
Yeah.
You look a little bit, I always call it politician's wife.
Yeah. Or apprenticing.
Yes. And rather that, do you know what?
Like, you can't sit down comfortably.
Well, when are you going to wear that again? Yeah. Can you rock to Waitrose in that? Or, you know, trip to the co-op? Put some sambas on. Would that work? No.
Whereas actually, that's a good rule of thumb.
Can I wear this
with a trainer?
My rule of thumb has been that for years.
Yeah.
Flip-flops. Can I wear this on holiday with flip-flops?
Yeah.
If I can, then I'm going to buy it. If I can't, no. And actually, I think to turn up looking a little bit like Stevie Nicks to a wedding is not a problem.
No.
You are going to get some snotty people, you know, in there. I was going to say a couple of brands, but I won't.
Okay, tell me
I'll tell you afterwards, yeah. But, you know, the
corporate-y
brands, you know, they look sort of, it's very sort of wedding formal.
Yeah.
Very occasion wear.
Yeah.
Rather than cool, laid-back occasion wear.
Yeah.
Jumpsuits are a great option if you don't want jumpsuits. Again, a two-piece. You know, a top and trousers that match. There are
a
loads.
Jumpsuit, you think?
You can definitely wear a jumpsuit.
Well, like a silk jumpsuit.
Not necessarily
as opposed to a boiler suit jumpsuit.
I would, if it looks like you could be seen fixing,
like in a pipe.
No, I was going to say, if it looks like you could be under a bonnet in it, then no.
Maybe no.
No, but actually, you know, a wide leg, it could be a tapered leg, but something that's a little bit fluid. So you could actually wear it with a top and trousers. Essential Antwerp, in fact, I saw the other day, I've got an amazing, but I wouldn't wear it because it's, I don't do pattern trousers, print trousers. I don't know, but people...
I would draw the line at a print trouser.
Oh my God, we're going to go and try print trousers on.
It's a bit gap year for me.
A bit jostic.
A bit jostic.
I think it looks great. I just find it much easier in a skirt, just because I find a skirt generally easier to buy than trousers because I'm tall. And I don't know, I just prefer trousers to a skirt, no, skirt to a trousers. But you can get an amazing two-piece that you can then wear separately, and they can be print, they can be plain. There are so many more opportunities. When you're going, I would think about something that you can wear again, something that you can wear separately, something that you can, and as I say, I always do, that my rule of thumb is, can I think of three occasions when I can wear this? So it can be, it could be a wedding, it could be, I mean, what have we got, you know, an evening, I'm going to say a garden party, I mean, I've been to one garden party my whole life.
Yeah, but there are outdoor events, aren't there, that you go
to? Yeah, I mean, you go to the polo, you go to Henley, you go to the races, any of those things, or a wedding, or a christening, or a graduation.
Yeah, exactly.
Formal, where the occasion, you know, the dress code is formal. And then, can I wear it on holiday in the evening?
Yeah.
Could I wear it to a friend's 50th birthday party?
Yes.
Could I wear it to, if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going, it's a warm day and I'm going out for, could you wear it to... Tesco's with some trainers.
So the word that needs to be in your mind at all time is versatile.
Absolutely. And then also the other thing I also say is, can you wear this outfit with three things that you already own? Can you make three different outfits?
I like that rule of thumb, Kat.
Because if it's just, yeah, do you know what? This dress is amazing, but I've got no shoes to go with it. I've got to get new shoes. Okay, well, I don't have a jacket to go with this outfit.
It
gets expensive, and chances are, if you don't have something that already goes with it, it's not going to work in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
So think about things that can offer versatility. That's what I'd say. The two-piece is your friend.
Well, the two-piece is versatile as hell, isn't it?
I love it. And also, I think they also, it means it's more, it's seasonal as well. It's less seasonal, I should say. So you can wear it throughout the year. So into the autumn, if you've got a silk skirt, actually you can wear it with boots and a jumper.
Exactly. Oh, I love that conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Let's hoof on to our meesome threesome, because your first one,
speaking of
is
which,
also clothing based.
I know. So this is, again, this is the other thing, actually, thinking about back to what we were just saying. The brand that I, Helly Menzies, that I look at, and I did put it up on Instagram, and it's not cheap. They are investment pieces. Mm. But somebody said it's very expensive. And I said, well, ideally, you'd get inspiration from it. And actually, because she is such a, it is very vintage looking. Mm. Think about looking at vintage clothing. Mm. Think about looking at vintage shopping. There are loads of amazing vintage shops in London and around the country. Speaking of which, I have got a leather blazer. Maz, I have progressed from the leather bottoms to the leather tops.
You've gone from your pants to your jackets.
Yeah, now I have a vintage...
Spreading like a rash.
Okay, fine. That's not what I was going to say, but amazing. A vintage DVF little jacket that I got from Smartworks,
well,
actually.
You love that more than anything, don't you, that your Smartworks purchase?
If I lost that jacket...
I wouldn't like to be here when you do, is all I'm saying.
No one wants to be in the vicinity. I love it, and I'm terrified, and the buttons are falling off. I need to have the buttons put back on. But I saw, it's a shop called Gong Nong Bing.
Gong Nong Bing.
Yeah. And it's a vintage shop on Charing Cross Road. Now, it is in a tourist location, and it's aimed at tourists. And it's in an area of London where there are lots and lots and lots and lots of tourists. And there are lots of Korean shops there. There are Vietnamese shops there. It's pricey for vintage. But if you find something that you love, I would rather pay over the odds for something that I loved, I'm just going to wear again and again and again, than less for something that was okay. This little leather blazer It's actually petite, I've realised. It's actually,
it's very classic.
I mean,
oh, petite, because it is quite fitted on you, which is really nice.
Yeah.
It's not relaxed. It's like quite a fitted blazer, but in leather, but in soft leather, isn't it?
It's soft leather, but it does look, it's a little bit distressed, isn't it? It's a little bit distressed, but it's not a bit shabby. Distressed,
yeah.
But it's almost a bit crinkly.
It's not scruffy.
No, I don't know what I'm trying to say, really. It's,
we'll take a picture.
It's quite Zadig, actually.
Yeah, it is.
It looks sort of lived in, but not worn.
How much was it?
It was £88.
Okay.
Which is a lot, but it's not really a lot for a leather jacket.
No, it's not really.
No.
But I mean, I know it's vintage.
Normally, secondhand. Anywhere not in London, you'd probably only pay about 40 quid for it.
Yeah.
In a normal vintage shop, you'd pay 40, whereas obviously London, we have the London tourist tax. But I love it. And it's like my other one, but actually it's different. So it's a little bit bigger. So I've been wearing it over jumpers. I haven't had it off this week.
That's a bit personal. I didn't need to know that. Okay. What about the jacket? Right, moving on. Okay, so.
Oh, my God.
There's a theme here today, isn't there?
Oh, dear God.
So when I was in Prescott, had to go to the theatre because obviously it's the brand new, shiny new Shakespeare North. I watched, it's called Richard, My Richard. Now, you know the novelist Philippa Gregory, she's like a best-selling historical novelist. She's written a play and it's about Richard III, which sounds like the most boring thing on the earth.
I'm not going to lie, it does.
Honestly, it's phenomenal. So, you know, Richard III was basically dug up in a Leicester car park.
I do.
Right. So we start there.
Ooh.
We start with Richard III being dug up in a Leicester car park.
He's okay.
Played by this very sexy actor called Kyle Rowe. I think he winked at me at the end, but my mate thinks he winked at her, but I think he winked at me.
Maybe he was just having a twitch.
Well,
I'm stroke.
After we saw him.
I'm stroke.
With our tongues out. He has got a lot of charisma, is all I'll say. And I actually fancied Richard III, which is something I never thought I'd say. He's a great actor. And he's in all the soaps. He's been in all the soaps, but I haven't watched the soaps. I think he's been in Emmerdale, Corrie. Anyway, it's called Kyle Rowe. Very good stage presence. So he plays Richard III, and he's basically dug up, and it tells the story through his eyes, because a lot of people think he's been much maligned. And you know, when he was dug up, he didn't have a big hump on his back at all. Okay. So, you know, he was meant to be the hunchback, very ugly king. It kind of tells the story. There's a character called History, and History's telling him how people think of him. And he's like, no, that didn't happen.
I quite like
and
this.
It goes through the whole thing, and it's phenomenal. And because we were like, oh, what's this going
to
be like?
Do you go to the theatre every week?
No, but I would if I could.
Would you?
Oh, and the other thing about this, 38 quid. Thanks
Shut
for coming.
The front door.
You could afford to go to the theatre in Prescott.
That's amazing.
Absolutely brilliant.
Was the restaurant expensive, by the way?
The restaurant was expensive for Prescott. I don't think you'd probably get that many locals going in on a normal night. It was full of pre-theatre. And I did say to the waiter, do you get a lot of locals in here afterwards? And he said, not tons. It is catering really to that pre-theatre crowd because it's around the corner. I'd say Dearest Main on the menu is about 28 quid, which is quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot for the area, but really nice food. Very, very, very nice food. And they do specials and like two courses for 15 quid some nights.
Oh, my God, amazing.
Yeah, that is really good.
But nice for an occasion.
Really nice for an occasion, a really nice restaurant. So it was fantastic. And do you know what they don't do in the North, I've noticed?
I don't know.
Stand innovation.
Yeah,
it's my bugbear. It's a little bit of a bugbear of mine
we never used to do this in a theatre.
I've been going to the theatre for a long, 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 long time. Only on exceptional occasions would anything.
Opening night?
Yeah, maybe a phenomenal opening night get a standing ovation, or the final night, or a 1,000th show, or something that's been truly spectacular. every single time now. I cannot think of the last play I went to that didn't have a standing ovation. And if you don't want to.
And if you don't stand up, you look like a dick.
You do, and you can't even see. You can't see the bow either because everyone's standing up.
For me.
Do you think it's a bit much?
It's ridiculous. Do you know what? Yes. And I said that last time we went. For me, it's a theatrical equivalent of clapping when the plane lands. I'm sorry. Someone said, I saw a great thing.
I love that.
I saw a great thing a while ago. Someone said, when you've realised how to know, what's a red flag? A red flag. If you go on a weekend away with a new man and basically you're sat there and the plane lands and he claps, abort mission. Abort mission. Even if it's a Ryanair flight. No, I'm sorry.
I couldn't agree more.
No.
Right, go on.
Right, okay. Speaking of men. It's not really speaking of men at all, actually. I've got a new candle. But the reason you're saying, why is that?
What, hey?
Well, because we discussed.
We said it smells of man.
No, I said it has a good grief. Oh, my God. Who wants a candle that smells of men? Oh.
Well, I mean, Gwyneth sold loads that smelt of her vagina.
I don't want to smell that either.
Okay.
No, masculine fragrance. Yeah. That's what I said. So many candles, you know, are a little bit. They're feminine, aren't they?
They are feminine. This isn't that florally. It's gorgeous.
It's by a brand called Union of London. And at Christmas, I ordered their Christmas one, which I'm not going to lie, I didn't love their Christmas one. But I also ordered a wild fig, which is incredible. You don't like fig?
I love fig.
Their wild fig.
Fig or tuberose, I mean.
Right. Their wild fig is amazing.
I want it.
It's absolutely amazing. I gave that to a friend and I kept this one called Habana. And I can't remember because I did buy it about 3 months ago. I can't remember why I bought it. I think it was probably because it was something about being like a sexy. I wanted like a leathery, armchairy.
Yeah.
Sexy, masculine.
It's slightly musky and it's absolutely beautiful. And we're burning it now. And the wick's unusual, Kat.
How would we describe that? It's like a bit of gauze.
We said it was like a tab. I don't know if that's very descriptive, but it's not a wick. It's a kind of thick but long.
It looks like gauze, doesn't it?
From here. Maybe it just doesn't, all the ash doesn't seep in. Is that why?
I don't know. But it's
gorgeous anyway.
They are absolutely brilliant and they're really effective. If you've got an open plan area and you struggle to get a proper smelly candle, in a good sense smelly, these are amazing. Union of London, and they're unusual as well. I'm so tired of getting candles that all smell the same.
Samey.
You said it smells expensive.
It smells really like an expensive shop.
Yeah. Oh my God, it does.
I like that smell.
I wanted it to. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. It's supposed to be a sexy smell. I don't know. It does smell.
It works.
Sexy.
It works. It's sexy.
Yeah. Anyway, it's brilliant, and they're not cheap, but they're not massively expensive, and it's a really cool small brand that I found just before Christmas.
We'll obviously put the picture up.
Yes.
Right. I am reading. I think I'm 8 million people have gone before me, but I'm reading something that you've read, and I've been very late to the party because I thought it wasn't going to be my cup of tea. And it's Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. And you're probably all going to groan and go, well, we've all read that. But I'm just saying it's the first time that I have read it. I've kind of done an avoid years because I thought it'd be rubbish. It's great. Delia Owens.
It's also the first time I think I've read a book that you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, but I have now. Well, actually, I'm near the end. I know there's a twist in the end and I've not got to it. Can you remember what the twist is?
Yeah, I absolutely can. Okay. I loved it. I actually had this as one of our Meeson threesomes when we very, 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 very first started because I was going to read it. Yes, I was going to read it. I think I went away with my daughter. And then she took ages reading it because she reads about 5 books at the same time.
Oh, some people can do that.
Oh, no, I can't.
I can read two at the same time.
I can. If I read two at the same time, it means I don't like one of them.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I loved it. And there's a lot of... interestingly, since then, I had a lot of people saying they didn't love it because they found it was too descriptive. And normally, I like a lot of dialogue. I don't like description, but I
loved it because it was descriptive. And the woman that's written it, Delia Owens, is a zoologist or a zoologist writer. And that's why I loved it, because her descriptions of North Carolina and the marshlands were just beautiful.
And also, I think that it's descriptive in a sort of in a really educational sounds wrong, but in a really prescriptive, descriptive way. So you can actually, it's an area that you can't really visualize, but from the reading you can. It wasn't just waffle.
And it made me want to go there as well, from her descriptions of all the wildlife and stuff.
I absolutely, absolutely loved it. However, I can't remember if I've seen the film. The film didn't get
the film's meant to be rubbish.
The book is incredible, but 99 times out of 100, the book is always better.
Always
than the film.
Better than the film.
Always.
So, I've just thrown that in there because I'm very behind the times. I know, but let us know what you thought, listeners, because probably most of you've read it.
If I've read it, you are definitely behind the times.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to go to I'm lowering the tone. Well, not lowering the tone, really. I'm talking restaurants. We were talking about restaurants earlier, but I have discovered two. Talking about me cooking earlier, the only thing I can cook really well is a chicken. I don't know why then. It would be me talking about a chicken thing when it's the only thing I can cook. But two chicken restaurants I've been to recently, one which is very, very gluten-free friendly and one which I'm not sure it is because I didn't ask. I'm sorry, I should have done. But one is called, I think it's
Bebe Bob. Is it
B-E-B-E-Bob? B-E-B-E, but it's B-accenting,
B-accenting,
Bob.
Baby
Bob, yes, which is the sister restaurant of Boba Ricard.
Oh, I love Boba Ricard.
I know. I think this is much better.
Oh,
I think it's better. I like it more. It's less. The interior is utterly stunning. It feels like, I don't know, it's sort of like, I felt it. If I say Harlequin, would that make sense to you? If I said, you imagine, just think of a Harlequin. You know, sort of the red, green, yellow.
Yeah.
With those sort of real geometric shapes.
Yes.
It's not sort of Art Deco. It was more Harlequin than Art Deco. It is actually sort of Art Deco. But it is amazing. But they just sell chicken. If you don't like chicken, don't go.
Okay.
The premise is rotisserie chicken. There are literally two main courses, chicken, and they're two different types of chicken.
I like they're not being much on the
menu. Oh, I love it.
I get in a book sweat.
Amazing sides. And the idea is chicken, this is where you can choose your entry level payment terms. Chicken, caviar.
Oh.
I know. Mm.
I feel like chicken tonight because I'm not paying for caviar.
Or champagne. So basically, we just had chicken and champagne and it was wonderful. But they do sides as well. The sides are all fabulous. Like truffle mac and cheese.
Where is it?
It's Golden Square. So it's in Soho.
Okay.
It's amazing. The thing I loved about it is that it's not particularly, for London, it's not massively expensive. And also, this was really controversial. They don't let children under the age of 15 or 14 in.
Oh.
I think we should discuss that another time.
Yes.
Let's leave
I've
that.
I've got thoughts.
Let's
and you
leave
have,
that.
Yeah.
Let's leave that. But it was brilliant. If you're going to go with the girls, you can say that it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. It's brilliant. Best chicken shop. There's another chicken shop I'll do another time.
Fabulous.
But this
love
was
that.
Wonderful.
I wouldn't mind going there. You've
honestly,
it to me.
We'll go.
I would love to go.
Because it's really reasonably priced, but it's really glamorous.
Oh, chicken and champagne, reasonably priced, but glamorous. I'm in.
It's fabulous. Okay. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
I am finishing with a new eyeshadow. I'm so boring with my makeup. I very rarely recommend makeup because I'm not very good at doing it.
Well, neither am I, but I just buy the same thing over and over and over. But
well,
I don't mind.
I've come to the end of my, which I must have had for about 2 years, my Chanel eyeshadow, which is more powdery. This one is Clinique, which I've sort of recently rediscovered, bizarrely. Fan of it in my youth, but I've recently rediscovered some of the formulas because my skin's obviously getting older now and they do a lot, like the chubby stick.
Oh
they
my God.
Do a lot of stuff that's dewy and moist and creamy and it's not powdery.
Do you know why I love it? It's really easy. I mean, a chubby stick, I love. Oh, a chubby stick, a crayon, anything like that, I love.
Well, this is like a crayon.
Yeah.
So it's got two ends to it, if I can describe.
Did you say it was an eyeshadow?
It's an eyeshadow. It's high impact shadow play shadow and definer. And it's the one I've got is number 6 in a double latte. So at one end of the pencil is a really lovely brown, kind of small chubby stick, creamy.
A crayon.
Shadow, crayon. Yeah, crayon.
It's quite metallic. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit metallic. Yeah. And on the other side, it's more of a...
It's a powder.
What would you call that? Slightly more powdery and it's slightly darker. So you can sort of put one on and then highlight a bit darker with the other. So am I describing it properly? Probably not.
Not even close. Right. So what you're supposed to do, so basically it's a double-ended eyeshadow in a pen form.
See?
And see, one is it's like a crayon, but I would say it's like a classic crayon eyeshadow.
Yeah.
So it is creamy. It does have a metallic sheen to it. It's not super, super, super shiny. And it is latte, but I would say it's definitely a minky latte. It's got a grey tone to it.
A minky
latte. It does have a grey tone to it. So I've tried this and it's too grey for me.
Yeah, you didn't like that shade on you, but on me, we've got such different skin. So you've put it on your skin, I've put it on mine. It looks like a completely different colour.
On me, it's got a real charcoal grey tone to it. So it's a real charcoaly grey brand. If you like that, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That you use as your base. So you can literally just whack that all over your eye. And then the other end is what they call a definer. And I've never seen one of these. This, I think, is really new.
Yeah.
So it's almost looks like a, what would you say that? It's like a highlighter, isn't
like
it?
Like a little highlighter crayon. Highlighter. Sort of crayon shape.
A spongy felt tip.
Yeah, slightly spongy,
But it's a powder. So it comes out as a powder. I don't really know how the technology behind it works. But this you can use as a definer. So this I would use sort of in you can use it wherever you want,
In
really.
The kind of crease of your eye socket.
In the socket. So in the back of the socket. And also you could do a little bit underneath as well, underneath your eye. It's really, really easy to use. Yeah. I think they are genius. I would say that for me, I was gutted that on me, as soon as I put it on my eye, weirdly, it looks grey. I need a real chocolate tone to mine.
Okay. Well, you've got pale skin, haven't you?
Yeah.
Did you say? I've got more of an olivey skin. I've got a darker skin tone. So I suppose it depends.
Because I think my skin has got actually, I need warm tones.
You need warm.
If I put on a cold tone, and that's quite a cold tone, it makes it look really icy. Whereas on you, it's beautiful.
I'm really pleased with it.
Really, really
and
suits
because,
you.
And because the powder of the Chanel one, it did disappear very easily into my creases and slightly bleed. This one's just creamier, and I'm very, very pleased with it. I'll put that up as well. Put that up.
Do you know what's genius about it? You can put it in your handbag and go.
I know.
Whereas I'm not great with. I've not really ever found a crayon shadow that I like.
No.
I like a palette,
And
that means I have to take a brush out with me because we did discuss this earlier when I said, you said, oh, I don't like putting on a shadow. It goes into, I find it really creasy. And I said, I don't get that. I said, what brush do you use? Marianne's face. Blank face.
I don't use a brush.
Should I use my finger? I was like, oh my God. So I have to use a brush. Yeah. I have to put it on with a brush. That's my, I have the same colour. And mine's a real sort of chocolatey, bronzy, that sort of tone that I go
to warm
for.
You up.
Coppery, bronzy, tony. Whereas this is sort of a minky, charcoal-y grey. It's beautiful
very,
on
very
you.
Very, very nice. And I'm ever so pleased with it. Genius. So we'll put all these up. Very, very, very clever. And it's
genius,
new.
Yeah.
I think it's new.
It is. They are new.
Okay. It's a wrap, folks. Thank you, as always, for listening to Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast. Feel free to leave us a nice review wherever you listen to us.
And do follow us on Insta at Got the Podcast for all the added extras.
Enjoy your Easter break.
Yes.
And tomorrow we get 4 days, don't we? 4 days straight. And don't forget, tune in, Bank Holiday Monday, we're still on.
Yes. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm literally adding to the script. Marianne's written the script and I'm just ad-libbing at the end. Cut.
All you need to do is say bye.
Oh yeah, bye then. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
And the other Mr. P.
And we are the hosts of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day. And of course, we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips, and get ready for the lesson.